Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
We're joined now by Dr. Ciarán Seoighe, Deputy Director General, Science Foundation Ireland. Ciarán, you're very welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Now, we were talking to Professor Dennis Dowling of the iForm Advanced Manufacturing Centre in UCD a couple of weeks ago here on Taking Stock about the challenges and opportunities faced by that sector as we move forward. And he referenced the good work done by Science Foundation Ireland on a number of occasions in terms of fostering investment and R&D in the whole broad science area. So we said we'd have a chat with you, particularly as you've just published your strategy looking forward, shaping our future strategy. Before we talk about the goals that you've set for yourselves there, Ciarán, is it fair to say that over recent years, Ireland has really been punching beyond its weight, that the budgetary resource we have for science research has been falling compared to our peers, and yet we seem to have got a decent bang for our buck, considering that budget?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair comment. You know, if we look back over the previous strategy for SFI, you know, a lot of it happened in the times of the worst of the austerity measures, and the strategy was really focused on optimizing the system, so to really get as much out of the system as we possibly could, while recognizing that those budgets were quite constrained. And it was really successful. You're absolutely right. Irish researchers have been punching way above their weight given the circumstances. And we now are we have now the most efficient RD&I system in Europe, as recognized by the Eurostat data. And what that means is that for every euro put into the research system in Ireland, you get more back than anybody else does. And that's a great tribute to the hard work done by many, many people, recognizing that, you know, while it might have been tough, we really have a very, very good system. But I suppose it leads to the obvious question is, when we have a system that efficient, that good right now, where to next?
And just before we get into that discussion, Ciarán, when you say we get more back for every euro invested, what do you mean by more? Is it actual economic value?
No, it's not just economic value. It's measured in a number of different ways. It's measured in terms of scientific output, its papers and publications, its discoveries, invention, patents. There's a suite of measures that go behind measuring that. So it's a sort of a broader view of the impact.
Looking forward then, why can't we just remain as efficient as we are and not look for significant budgetary increases as I know your foundation is looking for?
Well, I suppose it's that follow-on question. You know, we have a very, very efficient system right now, but there's only so far you can squeeze it, and we really need to put more fuel in the tank to get the real value from the system we have. So right now we have gaps in our system that we're not filling. And that's going to, you know, you can get away with that for a period of time, but we really have pushed the system to its limit for a long period of time, both the higher education institutions as well as the actual the research side of things directly. And what that means is, with other countries investing heavily and continuing to invest heavily in research and innovation, we start to fall further and further back on various indices. So it could be the innovation indices and attractiveness indices. To see, you know, and it makes Ireland less attractive as a country going forward for companies who are looking at us to come here. So it would put us, you know, at some degree of risk. We could lose top talent in terms of our research talent. We could fail to attract the right skills, fail to attract the right companies. So there is really an important onus on us to invest in research and innovation. And I think at the launch of our strategy on Monday, Taoiseach put it very, very well when he said, you know, investment in research isn't optional, it's essential. And I think he's captured it very well in that very simple sentence.
How far back have we slipped already in terms of that investment, even from countries that could be considered our peers in terms of our size and population? I think the latest figure I saw was that we were investing about just over 1% in research of GDP in research and development, whereas the European average is getting on close to 3%.
Yeah, well, the European target is to get to 3, and the average is about, I think it ranges about 2.2, 2.3. So, and the target for Europe is to get to 2.5 across the board. As I said, to get to 3, but actually, as Ireland, we set a target of 2.5. Now, there's right now we're really quite far down on that scale. So, it's, you know, we look at this as GDP is often used internationally, but also there's GNI and GNI star that we look at in order to sort of account for some unique elements of Ireland's economics. And either way, or no matter which way we look at it, we are really at the bottom end. We're kind of the laggards of research and innovation in terms of investment. And it's something that over time is going to catch up with us.
Assuming you get the budget, and it sounds like you have the support in principle, at least, of an Taoiseach, assuming you get the budget you require over the coming years, Ciarán, what do you want to do? What goals do you want to set? I see you want to you want to have 18 research training centres by 2025. What's the significance of those research training centres? Is it the partnerships they set up with industry?
So, I mean, that's one of a suite of measures. So when you ask the question, what do we want to achieve with this budget increase, there's a number of things we want to do. We see really the strategy now is about a growth strategy. It's about getting a balanced portfolio across the system and growing that in a balanced way. So the Centres for Research Training, they're about the future of skills. They're about recognizing that going forward, we see there's two types of things. There's talent and the skills, and we distinguish between them. The talent is the academics, the research professors, the lecturers, the ones who are actually producing the skills going forward. So we need to be able to attract and retain and develop that top talent in Ireland, because that top talent is then what gives us the skills. So we want to do those centres for research training because it's cohort-driven PhDs to create the most sought-after PhDs in the world. The idea being that we want to create the kind of people that are future-proofed, that are able to go after the careers they want in academia or industry, and that they are creating that virtuous circle as well, where they attract industry to Ireland because industry wants to be near where the best people are. So that's one of the reasons why there's a strong focus on skills. But there is a focus across the strategy and all that budget increase around a balance in the portfolio, a balance from early careers to advanced, a balance from the sort of individual-led research to more centres-type research. So we want to make sure that balance is right and that we don't leave any bubbles in the system or any gaps in the system. And that's one of the things that's really different about this strategy going forward. So the second part that we're really looking at quite differently is that sort of horizon scanning. So it's looking around new areas and new technologies as well. So that's part of what we'd like to invest in going forward.
And I'll come to you that in just a moment. I see if I presume as a complementary policy, not just fostering the talent ourselves, but also that you plan to attract at least 20 world-leading researchers to Ireland annually, getting them in here from outside, perhaps Irish people coming back. Is that difficult?
It's difficult, yep. I mean, top talent is always in demand, and it is definitely a war for talent in academia as much as anywhere else. And so to attract that top talent, we will only do it if we have the research base behind that. So, back to your earlier question, why should we invest? Well, we won't get that top talent if we don't have the infrastructure and the places for these people to come and do their research. And it's really important to have it here because, there's that star attraction capability. It brings in, aside from the researchers themselves and the new knowledge they bring, they tend to attract then other people around them. They tend to attract good students who come in. And they tend to attract industry who sometimes have told us as well, they don't necessarily want to work with these individuals, but they want to be nearby. They want to be near that locus of new ideas, of the spin-outs or of the students and the new knowledge coming out. So it's a really sort of important multiplier effect that we want to get into the system, which is attract that talent. And it could be Irish people coming back, and it could be identifying gaps in our system and recruiting. I mean, that's something that we do to supplement the really good talent we already have. So it's a two-tier approach there.
I was intrigued by one of your goals, Ciarán, in the future strategy document, that 65% of postgrad and postdoctoral researchers would leave academia after 6 years. That implies that some people tend to stay in what may be the comfort zone of academia for too long, and that they should get out there onto the factory floor or into industry more hands-on.
Yeah, well, there's. When we went out to consult on the strategy, we spoke a lot to the early careers individuals, the people who were just doing their PhDs and were just into postdocs. And a large number of people want to remain as academics in the system. But in any system such as ours, the only a small percentage can actually stay. So the system can't absorb a large number of PhDs to become academics. So some should, and some should remain in the system, and some should become academics, both in Ireland and abroad. And then for others, we want to make sure that there is a natural progression out of there into other places. And it's part of the reason for our Centres for Research Training model, is that they are become more au fait with the industry side of things, that it becomes a more direct connection, and actually they can hit the ground running and just move seamlessly from a PhD career into an industry career, because it is just as valid, if not more valid sometimes for some people, an option to go into that research in industry. And sometimes maybe we don't show people that at early stages in their PhDs, and we want to make sure that that's visible so people have that option to make those choices and actually recognize that, you know, if only 5 or 10% of people can become academics, then a large portion of people need to be looking at other places for their research careers going forward.
Our guest here on News Talk is Dr. Ciarán Seoighe, Deputy Director General, Science Foundation Ireland. As we stand at present, before we get into our objectives over the coming years, as we stand at present, I heard you say at a recent seminar online that we do have pockets of excellence in terms of the science research and development that's going already in particular sectors. What are those sectors where we excel at the moment?
Well, there's a number of sectors in Ireland that we excel in. You know, traditionally, we excel in the biotech sector. You know, areas where we have our research centres, we have very, very strong research centres in gut microbiome. We have it in the sustainable energy sector. We have it in advanced materials. There's a number of sectors where we have, you know, some really strong excellence building up. And then we also, what I was talking about before, is really good pockets of excellence building up in emerging technologies and emerging fields as well, such as emerging fields like quantum technology, where, you know, we have pockets of absolute expertise and excellence dotted around the country. And you know, those are going to be very important to us going forward as we look to the sort of a new world and a new evolution of, you know, the technologies, emerging technologies that we will probably see becoming mainstream in the next decade.
We'll come to that again in a minute as well, because I know quantum technologies is very close to your own heart and your own area of expertise. But those areas where we currently excel, those pockets of excellence that you've just outlined there, do they very much mirror, it seems to me, do they very much mirror where we are pretty dominant in terms of industry as well, because of foreign direct investment here?
Yep, they do. I mean, if you look at some of the areas that we excel in, there's a heavy preponderance towards the ICT areas. So in artificial intelligence, data analytics, and digital. So those are areas where we absolutely excel. You look at areas as well, you know, that advanced materials as well, where we excel. You look at areas in the pharmaceutical space. So yeah, there's definitely a connection there. And, you know, we see that there is that virtuous circle as well, where between industry and academia working together, that, you know, industry wants to be near the new ideas, academia produces those new ideas, pushes the boundaries out, and that circle needs to be sort of enhanced. And the centres do that really, really well. So the process that they follow is that they kind of, they do that basic fundamental research within the centres, but then they make those connections to industry as well to keep those partnerships and to drive that sort of future view of where, you know, the talent is going to go, where the future skills will go. It gives the opportunity for the partnerships as well to develop between industry and academia. So that's it's a very successful model, and it is very much in the spaces today. You know, advanced manufacturing is another one where you can see the evolution of advanced manufacturing, and manufacturing 4.0, as it's called, is an area where we have a number of research centres, again, collaborating heavily with industry.
Is Science Foundation Ireland broadly satisfied, happy with both the structure of undergraduate science courses in third level in Ireland and the quality of the graduates we're putting out there?
I mean, it's that we have some, in terms of our graduate programs and the students that come out, I mean, we focus mostly on the PhDs as they come into the system, and the PhDs that we get, you know, in the Irish system that come into it are very strong. They do really, really well. They are in big demand at the moment, you know, nationally and internationally. So, you know, it's a very good program. It's the outcome of anybody doing a PhD in Ireland and going through the Irish system. It's doing well. I suppose it can always be better, and it's why we like that cohort-driven approach for the PhDs, so they can be even better and world-class. So, it would, you know, everything else, it can always evolve and can always continue to improve.
Talk to us about quantum tech, because while I know you have spent most of your career as a management consultant in Accenture, you are a doctor in quantum physics. This is, and I'm far from an expert myself, Ciarán, but this is basically the physics of submolecular structures. How has Ireland become a centre of excellence there, and what are the practical benefits of increased research and development and innovation in that area for the economy generally, for industry generally?
So it's a very, very hot topic at the moment, but I think I'd go back and I'd ascribe to the view that anybody who says they fully understand quantum mechanics probably means they don't understand quantum mechanics. It's definitely a complex field, and every time I have the privilege of meeting with any of our really advanced quantum physicists in the country, I sometimes wonder that they just spend more of their time making up new words for Wikipedia. It's a very fast evolving and challenging field, but it is a field that is rapidly moving towards a sort of a mainstream interest. So depending on the reports and the views you look at, it would, you know, different viewers say that, you know, it could be that industry is gaining quantum advantage, so using quantum technology to their advantage in the next 5 to 10 years, and it becomes more mainstream. And what that means is, if you think about the kind of companies that are based in Ireland, you know, that ICT and data-heavy kind of companies, that quantum there is going to be important for them, but also for companies like pharmaceuticals, because it's about drug discovery, for materials, because it's material science, fintech and insurance, all of those are seen as having a real part to play, or quantum will have a real part to play for them going forward. So one can expect that there will be a demand for those quantum skills before too long in Ireland. And that's going to be something that we need to look at. It's probably a longer-term play, and that's something that as SFI we need to be good at. We need to be looking around the corner to see what's coming next so that we're not late to the game, that we are able to provide those skills, you know, when they're required. And that's part of our horizon scanning that we're looking at going forward.
But even as we stand, we are punching above our weight in terms of the type of people who are already here.
So we have, yes, you're right, we have some very good research professors based in Ireland today, some of the best in the world in many instances, and they're scattered around the country. But we have, I suppose, a quantum community. So it's not just individuals, there's a community building up around quantum. So we have teams of people working in the different universities and institutes. We have, you know, our high-performance computing group in iCheck. We have Tyndall, who's working in photonics. So there's a community there that's building up. That community is also extending into other areas, such as, you know, the industry that's in Ireland currently really interested to say, you know, what we want to know what you're doing in quantum. We want to be close to it because we see this is where we're going to get advantage going forward. But you can see internationally, there's an awful lot of movement in this space. You know, France recently announcing a budget of 1.8 billion investment in quantum. It's an area where we're going to need those homegrown skills in the years to come. So we have to be looking at that and staying abreast of these changes because, you know, the time it takes to build those skills and get those students out, it's not small. So we need to be planning for it probably now already.
And you guys, I know, have to be looking 10 years ahead for what industry then will require. Budget aside, and we have to assume that you'll get what you want, hopefully. Are you broadly optimistic?
I think I'm an optimist by nature, I've discovered, which maybe is a bad thing. But yes, I am optimistic. You know, we have lots of advantages in this country. We have disadvantages, we're small, but because we're small, that gives us some advantages too. So I'm optimistic because we have been very successful in this country at bringing our researchers, our policymakers, and our community together in different ways, you know, and using that agility and that speed to get, you know, to punch above our weight, as we talked about earlier on. And the fact that we can do that, that we can punch above our weight, that we can do a lot more in this country means that, while we can't go toe to toe with the behemoths in terms of budget, we can actually be agile and responsive and rapid in terms of the way we do things. So, you know, it gives me great hope for what we can do. You know, I'm very encouraged always by the power of the academic community we've got here. We have a really strong academic community here. We are recognized, you know, as world leaders in many different fields from, you know, as we, you know, in terms of the research that we produce. We have partnerships around the world that are often the envy of many other countries in terms of the international partnerships that we maintain and have across, you know, between the US and the UK and broader. So it puts us in a very, very good position in terms of the, you know, preparing for the future, looking around the corner, and, you know, with the right budget growth and a very efficient system, if we can balance our portfolio, balance it across all the areas we need to do, we can have an absolutely vibrant and world-class research system.
On that optimistic note, we leave it there. That's Dr. Ciarán Seoighe, Deputy Director General, Science Foundation Ireland. Ciarán, thanks indeed for joining us.
Not at all.
Taking stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.